The question today is, what is the voice of the Lord? This is the second part of this message. We talked yesterday and spoke about the fact that the voice of the Lord is used 47 times in the Bible, the phrase itself. But we looked and what we dealt with yesterday, that see, some people say the voice of the Lord would be the Word of God because it's His Word. Well, it's true. It's His written Word. We understand that. But you see, God's got to quicken that Word to you. He's got to rivet it in your heart. And unless God, Holy Spirit, rivets that Word in your heart, makes it alive, make it real, and speaks to you directly to your heart, then I want to tell you, you've not heard the voice of the Lord. You've only heard, and if this book is not riveted to your heart, it's no different from any other book. We talked about that yesterday, because the Bible must come to you, not in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. And so, and when He, the Holy Ghost, gets up on that book, He makes it sharp and quicker than a two-edged sword. And if He doesn't get up on it, it's just ink on paper, and it's not the way it ought to be. Now, we also said that some people say that the preacher is in God's stead, and he's the one that's got to, he's the one that you've got to listen to. Well, I want to tell you, if your preacher preaches truth, great, you ought to respect him. But if God's got to rivet that truth into your heart as well, He's got to quicken it to you. If you move on something just because the preacher said so, you've got preacher worship, and it's wrong. And it'll lead you astray. It'll let you down in hell one day because you need to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, it's true that God uses human instruments, and that's God's way. Because you're not going to hear without a preacher crossing your path some way, somehow. That preacher might be an old grandma that's had truth and proclaimed truth to you. But still, you're going to have to hear. There's got to be a human instrument that preached the truth to you and for God's glory. And so, but Jesus made this statement in John 6:63, "The words that I speak are life." He was telling a group of people who didn't want to pay the price. They didn't want to take Jesus as Lord. And when He said, "The words that I speak to you are life," not the written word, even, and not the words of some preacher, but the words that He speaks. Therefore, one must be awakened by the Holy Spirit to hear His voice. And when the voice of the Lord then reveals to you your lostness, and then the reproval of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He speaks to you about your lifestyle, your condition, your need for righteousness. And it's not self-righteousness, but Jesus, who is the righteousness of God. And 1 Corinthians 1:30 brings that out. And then, of course, what does He speak? Well, He speaks promises and warnings and threatenings. You see, when one's awakened, he turns from the broad way to the narrow way, which leads unto life. That's to be found at the straight gate. As a lost seeker seeks to enter the straight gate, he walks that narrow way of Matthew 7:14 spoke about, because straight is the way, the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There's just few that find the narrow way that leads unto life. And there's ditches on both sides of that narrow way. And a ditch on one side we could call the ditch of despair, while the ditch on the other side is called presumption, which means venturing without positive permission or without divine permission. And you realize something, the voice of the Lord, though, gives the seeker promises as He speaks them and rivets them in their heart to keep them out of the ditch of despair. And He also gives them threatenings and warnings to keep them out of the ditch of presumption, all the while teaching the sinner in the narrow way what he needs to know to have good ground, to have the understanding that he needs. Psalm 25:8, He said there, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will He teach sinners in the way." Now, the voice of the Lord also brings faith. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, that Greek word there that's translated word is not the word we usually use for the written word, logos, but it's the word the Holy Spirit uses, the word harema, which means utterance. In other words, God's got to utter something to you for faith to come. Therefore, it takes the voice of the Lord that brings faith, whether it be intellectual faith, a seeking faith, a saving faith, or a serving faith. It takes the voice of the Lord to come to you. Now, the voice of the Lord, how does it come? Well, I know the Lord can speak through circumstances and storms and catastrophes and such like, and He does speak to us. But sometimes He speaks with a still small voice, as He did with Elijah when he was in Mount Horeb. Many people are looking for great moving things to be the voice of the Lord, and it is powerful. But the Bible said in 1 Kings 19:11-12, as He spoke about Elijah in Mount Horeb, He said, "Go forth and stand up on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by." And what happened? A great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. You see, at times when God speaks in our minds and hearts, He does it just with literal words. He speaks inside with literal words. For instance, we've got proof of that in Acts 13:2, when the Holy Ghost spoke or said to the church at Antioch concerning the missionaries Barnabas and Saul. In other words, they said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." And when that happens, it's so plain and so clear. I'm talking about when the Lord speaks to your heart and says something, it's so plain and so clear that you carry on a conversation with the Lord in your heart and soul. There's also sometimes when things just come together in your hearts and your mind, in that sense, it just clicks, and that brings complete peace concerning what the Lord wants you in your life. Not what somebody told you. Now, they may have been speaking to you, but God's got to quicken it to you. Don't you move out on what I say. You move out on what the Lord speaks to your heart, what He quickens to you. Now, let me say, any voice that you hear or however you hear it, if it's of the Lord, it'll not disagree with the Bible. It'll not disagree with it. Therefore, you need to heed the warning of 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, when he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." I want to tell you, you've got to be careful. The devil and his demons are liars. They'll lie to you. John 8:44 said he's a liar and the father of it. They'll even tell you they're God. They'll call themselves God. They'll call themselves the Lord Jesus. They'll call themselves the Holy Ghost and make you believe you're okay because you've got the Holy Spirit living inside you in all time. It's a religious demon that's carrying on and doing, leading you astray and deceiving you. Well, how do you know the difference? Well, what the Lord tells you will not change. In other words, He may not be fresh on your mind every day, but the Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what the devil will tell you will change. He tries to pull you this way and then that way, and that leads to confusion and confusions of the devil. Proverbs 24:21 says, "Meddle not with them that are given to change." I've seen some who, this is the issue this week, and next week's the issue of something else, and it's going to fight this and going to fight that, and it's changed from one thing to another. Don't meddle with them that's given to change. Listen, He's the Lord. He changeth not. He changeth not. And I know we preach about one thing or another, but listen, salvation is the issue. Somebody said separation's the issue. No, salvation is. If you're saved, you'll walk like the Lord wants you to walk because you're His sheep and my sheep hear my voice and I know them, John 10:27 said. So Paul, as a saved man, cried out in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, "Oh, that I may know Him." And he was already a saved man at that time. The word "know" there means to experience. To experience Him. Paul wanted to experience communion with the Lord as he spoke to him from time to time. Thank the Lord for those times that God nudges things in our heart and quickens them and makes them real in our heart and even says words to us. That's Paul said, "I want that communion," and I want to tell you, I do too. Amen. You see, the Lord spoke a conditional promise to a group face to face that believed on Jesus with their head. They said they believed on Him, but they believed with their head. They had an intellectual faith, but not a saving faith. They didn't believe with their heart. And He spoke to them in John 8:31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You see, those people could have been saved if they would have met the conditions He spoke of. And that condition was to continue in my word. But they refused to do that. They called Jesus born of fornication, and they wound up going against Jesus, got angry because we said we've not been in bondage to any man. We be Abraham's seed. And, well, they had a conversation back and forth there, but they could have been saved, but yet Jesus said, "Ye," in John 8:44, "ye are of your father the devil." Some say, oh, they could not meet that condition that he asked them to, due to their depraved condition. That's true within themselves. They couldn't meet that. But I want to tell you what. The Lord will enable you to obey the voice he speaks to you if you'll just respond to the light he gives you. And he enables you to do that. Then you'll have to say when it's all over done, it was just grace, grace, grace. He did it all. I didn't do anything. Folks, I want to tell you, got a lot of people who say, well, you can't do anything and God's going to come down and zap you. I'll tell you, God's got to work a complete work of Holy Ghost conviction in your heart. It's got to be in the area of sin and righteousness and judgment. And if he don't do that, you'll never be saved. But he's got to do that and bring you to that place to where he works repentance in you. He grants you repentance. And that's godly sorrow works it. And he grants you repentance, and when he grants you saving faith, then you can obey the gospel by repenting and believing. But I'll tell you, you'll not have any of it unless he quickens it to your heart. He speaks it to your heart. What is the voice of the Lord? It's the voice that I speak brings life, is what Jesus said. Therefore, in verse number 663, the words that I speak bring life. He's got to quicken it to you. I ask you a question today. Have you heard the voice of the Lord? You say, well, I've read his word. I read it every day. And I hear the preached word every time the church doors are open. I want to tell you, that's good. But that's not what I ask. I ask, have you heard the voice of the Lord? If you haven't heard the voice of the Lord, then all you have is a profession and not a possession. 1 John 5:12 said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Oh, Jesus said that in John 6:33 again. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. Oh, I tried to tell our people over and over as they have been pulled here by this group and that group. And some say, read, just take the word only. Just take the Bible and go with it. And just the Bible says it's true. That is true. It is true. But God's got to rivet it in your heart. I go over that again and again. I can't say it enough because too many people are going to stand and say, Lord, Lord, I read your word. I followed that. I had it memorized. But Jesus said, search the scriptures to the Pharisees. For they are they which testify of me, and you won't come to me that you might have life. Oh, but let God rivet it in your heart. And that just because you've got a preacher that says, follow me, follow me, follow me, do what I say. I want to say thank God for a preacher that'll preach truth, but when he gets in extra biblical situations and says things that's unbiblical, you need to run like a scared dog and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart somewhere, sometime, that you might be saved. You need the voice of the Lord to be saved. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.